Hi, it's Bill from Torg Stories at thetorg.com, August 1st, 2016 edition. In this week's episode, I talk with the owners of a new theater in Asheville, the Grail Movie House. It's in an old warehouse that has been fixed up. There's cozy chairs, beer from local breweries, some stadium-style seats in the back, and in some of the theaters, there's three screens. It's a great place to watch old movies on the big screen, see some new stuff you can't find at the big theater chains. This week, my family and I went to see Roger Ross Williams' new documentary, Life Animated. It's about an autistic man, his life story, and how his family was finally able to connect with him through Disney films. Cool family, dad is a writer, teeny bit on the intense side for my 8-year-old, but our 10-year-old really liked it. Movie for grown-ups that it can appeal to kids. Of course, the Disney parts were interesting to the girls. The Grail has also been showing stuff from Torg Stories. It's just south of downtown on French Broad Avenue. If you're on Haywood Avenue by the Thirsty Monk, a couple blocks just to where you're like, I don't think there's much else downtown. Take a left on French Broad Avenue. There's supposed to be a really good Thai place called Little B Thai. We tried to go after the movie, probably 40 people. 40 is an exaggeration, Bill. Come on. 20 people waiting at the counter, and we were like, that's a little busy for us. So we got to get to Little B Thai. Before we get to this week's conversation, time to pay some bills. This week's sponsor is called SeatBlock. You know when you're on an airplane and the person in front of you jams their seat into your knees? No, just kidding. No sponsors at Torg Stories. One of the great things about this podcast, at least at the moment, is you don't have to listen to me read any ads. But you can still help us out. Go to iTunes, find Torg Stories Podcast, click on reviews. If you want, just give us a perfect rating and move on. A sentence or two would be great. We don't have 10 reviews up there yet, but when we do, they'll start showing up. That'll help other people find the podcast. Okay, here we go. A conversation with Steven DeVita, owners of the Grail Movie House.
I'm going to take out Diane Court.
Diane Court doesn't go out. She's a brain
trapped in the body of a game show hostess.
If you're going to let him drive by, if the rest of you are going to let him catch the ball outside the 3-second lane and drive all the way in here without one guy challenging him.
Those aren't pillows.
But what we found out is that each one of us is a brain and an athlete.
And a basket case. A princess.
And a criminal. Does that answer your question?
What would you little maniacs like to do first?
So I'm going to start with, and either one of you can take this. When was the first time you thought you might own a theater?
When I was in college, in the mid-80s, I started working at a movie theater and liked it so much that it soon took over, and college kind of took a back seat for 4 years. And I worked for a chain in Chapel Hill, then in Winston-Salem, in Greensboro, in Greenville. After a while, I went back to school in Greensboro. And after I graduated college, I started working in theaters again. So after about 10 years of being in 7 different theaters, corporate environments, independent environments, I ended up back up in Chapel Hill, working at a theater called the Chelsea, which was a small 2-screen art house. At the time, it was one of the only art houses, I think, in North Carolina. And I just loved the business. I loved movies. I took a break and actually made a film in Chapel Hill in 1995, and then became a corporate video producer for about the next 10 years. And in 2001, moved to Asheville. Was working in corporate video. Most of my clients were outside of Asheville, but that's how I made my living. But when you are in that environment for an amount of time, it kind of sticks with you, the theater business. So I think in the back of my mind, I always wanted to try to recreate that art house in Chapel Hill that I enjoyed working in. And David and I both just love movies. We have 5 kids, and we kind of brought them up on the classics. And we built essentially a small movie theater in our house. Mm. And we had a built-in audience. And the opportunity just came around to where we decided, let's just do this. Let's give it a shot.
Right. So DeVita, is that one of my other questions was, you know, how do you guys know each other?
Well, and I was teaching, so I've taught for what 21 years, and so I was done. I wanted to do something else.
Mm-hmm. You guys are married. You guys are partners.
Yeah, not married. Previously married, and now happily together.
Not that I want to dig deep
No, that's fine.
We don't care. Yeah.
Okay.
But we always sit around talking about movies anyway, and so I had the opportunity, and I was either going to, I think, put my money into going back to school for something new, or let's do this. And so that's it. We did it.
Yeah, I have about 5 questions I thought of already. Okay. Just real, real short, like, what's your home movie theater like?
Well, when I moved to Asheville, I moved into a geodesic dome that this retired couple had built in the late 80s, and the man, I think, was an engineer, so he designed the inside of this building with a small projection booth in the center of the dome. So it was essentially a closet with a hole cut in the wall.
And it's the Scooby closet.
Yes. Because
it's like Scooby-Doo, like if you move the picture over, there's that hole that somebody can be peeking in through. But that's where the projector came out.
Yeah, so originally he had a 16-millimeter projector inside of this little room, and he had a screen on the opposite wall. And then all that was long gone, but the little projection booth was still there. So we replaced what used to be a 16-millimeter projector with a digital projector. We hung an 8-foot screen on that wall, and that's where we would watch classic films with the kids for the past 10 years or so.
And you would do that once a week? You would do that almost every day?
Sometimes it was
weekends.
Weekends alive.
Yeah.
And then did you guys come to Asheville together?
No.
No, I moved here in 2001 from Chapel Hill, and DeVita came, what year was it? 2006?
Or 2005 maybe, mm-hmm. Something like that. Yeah.
And so from Miami.
Was it not that you had a first date, you might have met a different way. I'm guessing you didn't say, let's open a movie theater on the first date. How did the idea for the Grail sort of rise up and win? Go ahead, DeVita.
I don't know.
DeVita, tell us what you remember, DeVita.
Seriously, this was, I think it was me pushing, I wanted to do something different.
Yep.
I was very disillusioned with the school system, mm-hmm. and I needed to do something different. And so you always wanted to do it, I guess. And we stand around in the kitchen. He works in the kitchen. He has a little office in the kitchen. So while I'm cooking and doing everything else, we're talking about movies and TV and whatever the whole time anyway. So...
And I think that
I think it was just we can actually do this.
I think it was about 3 years ago that I came across a blog by a couple in Springfield, Missouri.
See, so this podcasting and blogging, it does eventually reach an audience.
Yeah, it has an impact
that you don't even know about. Yeah,
right. Sometimes you're plugging away at it, and you're like, ugh. And then all of a sudden, and I said it, I think in a message recently. Sometimes it's just an audience of one. Like, one person hears or sees the thing, and that leads to all this other stuff. Okay,
yeah,
so you were looking at a blog.
So I was looking at a blog by a couple that created a small theater called the Moxie. And they took over an abandoned bank building in downtown Springfield, Missouri, and built a one-screen, I think they had 50 seats in their theater. They ran film. They actually had one projector. They had no platter system, which means they had to actually have a intermission on every movie they showed so they could string up a new reel. And they ran this thing for like 3 years and stayed afloat. And the great thing about the blog was they were extremely thorough with almost daily posts of what they went through.
Yep.
And that was not very glamorous. It included things like plumbing and air conditioning and dealing with permits, and it was a master's class in how to do this. And then I think they stayed open for 6 years and eventually moved to a different building, expanded 3 screens, sold the business to a nonprofit, which still runs it today. So they have a very vibrant art house in in a downtown, which at the time was kind of one of these close the doors at 5 o'clock downtown. And now I think that was part of revitalizing the city. And there's a multiplex located near them. So that small effort by this couple really had an impact. I think that the kind of neighborhood movie theater can do that. It brings people together for all kinds of reasons, and it can have a much bigger impact than just seeing great movies.
So I want to talk about kind of the business side of things, and I'm also interested in sort of what I would call curation, the fact that you're choosing these movies and they appear here, so don't let me forget those two things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do the movies that show here. I feel pretty certain that you can't subscribe to Netflix, connect your computer to the projector and show films and charge.
Yeah.
Right. So what do you do to get the rights to these films, and what does that include and so
forth? I would assume about a year ago, we had to start filling out paperwork with all the distributors.
Yep.
I think in 1 week, DaVita filled out about 400 pages of contracts with the major studios, and there's a lot of independent distributors as well that we have to deal with. So sometimes we have to do the whole round of paperwork every time we get a new film if we haven't dealt with that distributor. It's definitely a business. It's a very accounting driven business. Some films are much more expensive for us to show than others. Some are not available to show at all. One example is for our Canon series, which is our weekly classic film. We had a summer planned out of big summer films, and The Graduate was a big one on our list because it's a favorite of ours, and we had actually scheduled it, but then we found out that it was on hiatus for a year because next year's the 50th anniversary, so we can't show it. No one can show it legally, anyway,
right?
Until next year. So there's a lot of factors in what we can show. And we always have a wish list. Some things come from our customers. We have a manager who is a huge cinephile. He's like an encyclopedia of film.
Who's that?
Francis Friel.
Sure, right. I met Francis.
And so the process is putting together our hope that we can book these films, and then sometimes it's based on availability. Sometimes it's based on finances. Is it a viable thing for us to show? And sometimes we get a wonderful surprise. You know, we have Blood Simple this week, Coen Brothers, which is an amazing film, and it's doing quite well. So we are very excited especially when someone who's never seen a film like that comes and sees it on the big screen, and then comes out and shares, you know, their joy.
And that's really exciting, I think. And you know, we chose Brazil, which we thought, we don't know how that's going to do. It's not, none of these are the popular choice for the most part, and so it's a great feeling that that's the one that we really chose, and so we're really happy when people come and see those.
Steve said that he felt like, I don't know if he said last night or last week, was sort of a moment where you're like, okay, we think maybe we have a viable business. Can you say more? I mean, because I said to my wife, I feel like I can say this better now that you had that, but, you know, I hope the place is open in a year, because, you know, I don't know. I don't know. It could be.
We didn't know either.
Yeah.
Believe so, me.
Yeah, we're in week nine now, so I guess we're just over 2 months. And it is a new location. It's kind of an obscure location for people that are familiar with downtown Asheville, because we're kind of on the edge of where the hub of activity is. But what we have going for us is parking, and that's helped a tremendous amount.
Yeah. This is, I don't know if I should say this either, because I don't want to give it away to people. We don't have that big of an audience yet. This has become my favorite parking spot. I come downtown and I park on French Broad Avenue and I walk up there, boom, fantastic.
And it's really not that far. It's because I've been walking with the kids too. I had never actually walked it myself, but now when we're here on a Saturday or Sunday and I go and take them for lunch and we walk downtown, you know,
yeah.
it takes not so 5 the, minutes to get to Pritchard
Park
full, and be
where
down
where do
there.
People go from there?
Well, the biggest kind of feather in our cap is the United Way building across the street mm-hmm. has made an arrangement with 45 South French Broad, which is our building, that parking lot is available after 5:30 on the weekdays and anytime on the weekends. And there's about 100 spaces over there. So it's a big thing for our customers to be able just to pull up, park, and walk across the street and come right in
yeah.
Versus anything else downtown is really difficult. There's the free street spaces, and the backside of the building has about 40 slots right now, and that expands to 80. It's a little trickier to get to the front. You have to go up some stairs around the building, but we certainly have more spaces available than I think we'll ever need. Even on the busiest night, I think we're really covered in parking. And the other thing about knowing that, or thinking at least that we're a viable business, is we have a lot of regulars that come and see weekly. You know, we see a lot of faces, which is wonderful, and we love those people. But when we open a new film, we get a lot of new faces that are here for the first time, and they walk down that 100-foot hallway.
That's right.
And turn the corner, and they're like, what? You know, how did this happen? And so they're always pleasantly surprised. You know, we try to book really high-quality films. The classics we know are high quality, but we also work with a booker who sees a lot of films at festivals. She knows what's coming. It's a competitive business, but we try to book things we know that the audience will like. And we've had some home runs, like Music of Strangers. It's been a huge success.
And the films, too,
great.
That we've been showing.
I haven't
showing,
seen it, and I watched the trailer. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, right. And I think the films that we've chosen are not only good, but we are the only ones that have them. So if right. you want to see it, you have to find your way here. And that's made a big difference, too, that people do want to see what we're showing, and they've found us because of that. And that's that's been huge.
And this past weekend, we opened Absolutely Fabulous, which is
in a
limited...
I watched the trailer for that, too, yeah.
Yeah. It's been in a limited release, so it's only in about 300 theaters. Mm. We did not go after that film. Fox Searchlight came to us.
Wow.
And that
great.
Was a big deal. I think they knew Asheville was an important market for the film, and we were very lucky that they said, we want to offer you this early booking on this film, and it's, you know, that's a huge new audience that continues to find us here every night.
Great. Now, was it clear always that it would be, it's the Grail Movie House? Was it always clear that's what it was going to be? Was there a debate about that?
I think that the name, we kind of settled on the name 2 summers ago, and we had just taken the kids to see Spamalot at ACT. Uh-huh. And the song, the big song, Find Your Grail, in that play stuck with us, and we're huge Monty Python fans. At this point, I've probably seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail like 40 times.
Yeah, I don't know how many. Our kids have seen them.
And,
I've seen it 20 times.
You know, when DeVita's youngest was like 6 years old, he was quoting Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
And we didn't even know he knew some of these lines, and we were like, wait a minute. It seemed like a nice classic theater name. You want mm-hmm. something that looks good on the marquee. You want something to say, oh, where is it playing? Well, it's playing at the Grail. And we opened, you know, our first week, we had 3 of our favorite films. We had Sunset Boulevard, Cinema Paradiso, and Monty Python and the Holy Grail. So I think the name works for what we've created, you know, or what we hope people will find when they come here, the Holy Grail of independent movie
theaters.
That's
right. When we had our film here, I told you guys I thought you had one of the best signs in town, and you also have great T-shirts.
Oh,
so
thank you.
That's big. Do people buy the T-shirts? Are they?
We just started selling them. The first night, I know we sold one right off the bat from one of our regulars. And
I don't know if anyone got them this weekend, but we just got them.
Yeah.
We were a little slow, but
yeah, we, and you know, T-shirts.
Well, who designed it? Who drew that? Did you get somebody to do it?
I had a friend who's a graphic designer. She does corporate work from when I was back in Chapel Hill. So she does IBM type stuff. She does a lot of tech companies. And every now and then, I'll just beg her for a favor. And
she and really came through.
Yeah, she gave us about five designs, and we zeroed in on the one that that we're using, and we really
we're
fortunate. And the sign was designed by a local sign maker named Sanford Hodges, and he's a wizard with neon. He did 16 years ago. He did the orange peel sign, which is still up and burning.
Of course. Absolutely, and classic.
And we knew
the Catawba Brewing.
That was a big that was a big investment, you know, for the project, but it helped capture what we were after, classic old movie theater look. The shirts that we're selling now, we also have those made locally. Cheney Graphics, which out on Riverside Drive, are doing all of the screen printing work for us.
You know, people are always plugging their T-shirts, but you guys actually have great T-shirts. I'm the one who brought that up, not you guys. So it sounds like you rent this building.
We do.
Tell me about finding the space and then what you guys did to get ready.
We searched for over a year, I think, and looked at a lot of different spaces and had different requirements, high ceilings. It had to be sprinkled. We were looking at the building that's next to the tourist stadium, and it kind of just fell through at the last minute. And we had put a lot of time and effort into that, and we were really depressed. And so that was a Friday, and we went to go eat Little B. So we searched, and they were at Highland. So we
so
went to
like
go eat Little
B.
Thai. Yeah, we had known and followed them for a long time. So
anytime we were depressed, we would try to find where Little B food truck.
So I mean, it was really that night we were like, let's just go and get Little B, and and we did, and we were talking to Rick, the owner with Took, his wife, and he told us, you know what, you got to check out this building that we're moving into. It's a big warehouse space, and the owner's really great, and you should talk to him. And Steve went out the next day, and I met with Charlie Ball, who owns the building, and kind of settled on it. Yeah,
we walked back here, and the space we're in now was just filled with refrigerators and shelving. It was all
Hoppy storage.
Hoppy's storage for all of their extra stuff for all of their grocery stores. But it was available, and I kind of shared the vision with Charlie, and I think he immediately kind of got it, and he had bigger plans for this building, and I think that part of that was multi-use, having something that attracted people to the building, as well as he's developing business space, and eventually he's going to put apartments and condos on additional floors. So I think that it was a good fit for his vision, and it was a good fit for what we required as far as infrastructure and ceiling heights and line of sight. So all those things kind of that weekend turned into a very depressing weekend to a very hopeful weekend.
Yeah.
And how far do you guys live from here?
We're about 15 minutes away.
And then how much of this did you do? How much of this did you hire out? Did you do it all? Nita's looking at me like I did every single thing.
It feels
like we did everything. But
there were wonderful contractors that were working in the building with Charlie, with the building owner. And so, but we were here every day doing what we could do. You know, I mean.
Yeah. So all of the walls and the electrical were handled by the contractors. We worked with the local architect to work through all the design elements and code requirements. But when it came time finally to bolt seats in the floor and treat the floors and
run speaker wire.
Yeah, run all the wiring and
cameras and internet.
that was us. So there's especially when you're building inside the city, there's so many restrictions. The contractors have almost complete control over a lot of stuff. but finally the finishing touches we were able to get in, and
we put the screens up.
Yeah, rushed to the finish. So everything that made it a theater, we did. Everything that made it a building that a theater could go in, we worked with the contractors on that.
Good. So I got a couple ideas I want to talk to you guys about. I don't know which one to say first. So we, you know, I had the short documentary, Christopher's Garden. We screened here. We had a great crowd. It was free.
And it was wonderful. I just have to tell you.
Thank you.
We were so happy to do that event because it was just so positive. And it was, besides being a beautiful film, and he's wonderful, and you did a great job with it, it brought just the most positive people to this space, too. Mm, I mean, it was, we were just so happy to
do that. That's a really tight-knit community. I came home, when I met with you guys the first time, I was like, I wanted to tell them that maybe the big room, but I would have been so mortified if only six people came, and I told you guys that, I would feel so ridiculous. So, you know, I felt like if that was the crowd, six, you know, then my instinct that to make things local and to think about a built-in audience was flawed. You know, my first film was about hunting morel mushrooms. That was about my father. So there was a built-in audience of people who hunt mushrooms. And then everyone I talked to, of course, wanted to see the film, and they brought their 12 mushroom hunting buddies.
Yeah, right.
And so that, and then another film was about a book club, you know, thousands of women who are in this book club from Texas that's all over the world. So that seemed good. And so, I mean, so now I'm working on something related to the French Broad River and the community that surrounds it. And, you know, this isn't a commitment. So is that, let's say that it turns into a 90-minute film. Is that something that can show here? It's not something that can show
absolutely.
Here?
Absolutely. I think we're finding that special events, especially when you promote a certain date and time, mm-hmm. Can be very successful. And it's a little trickier when you book a week of a film and don't have a publicity arm behind it to get people to come out. But absolutely, I think that what you're talking about would be a big success.
Like, for example, I think I know Jeff at Mountain Express, and I actually raised it first. The fact that I was writing about Christopher and it was my film, and is that a conflict of interest and so forth, you know, that's a publication that's super supportive of the arts. And, you know, so I think there was enough good things going there that seemed okay. And I think an event like that, especially, there's an organization called Mountain True, which is sort of an environmental watch agency. They employ someone who's called the Riverkeeper. And so to me, like, if a portion of the proceeds were going to Mountain True, that could be a really, so that kind of stuff kind of interests me. And I got another idea. That's like, which one do I bring up next? So let's talk. I don't even know if I want to do one. So film festival, for example.
Right.
Asheville seems like it would be an incredible place for a film festival. I know people have tried it before.
Yeah.
You may know about those attempts. If you do, tell me a little bit about that.
I know that early in the 2000s, I'm trying to remember the year, there was a large Asheville film festival. They were at several venues. And I saw some of the films and was really impressed by the films they brought. They had good crowds. I think the logistics of almost every film festival that are run always outspend the take. So that's why the film festivals are very sponsor driven and not ticket driven, because I think that the venues and that just the amount of manpower it takes during the event and leading up to the event is always kind of overwhelming.
Yes.
And we're finding, even when we book just a single one-off event, the amount of logistics it takes and the organization with the filmmakers or the organizers, the moving around of schedules when you have regularly booked films, it's tricky. So it takes very focused people to run those things. Like, we have the Asheville Film Society here.
Yes.
And we do two screenings a week. We have Tuesday evenings and Thursday horror picture shows. And Ken Hankey from Mountain Express was kind of the figurehead of that for years. And, you know, when he agreed to bring the AFS to the Grail, we were overwhelmed with excitement. You know, it brought a built-in audience, it brought great films, it brought his knowledge and the other folks that work with the AFS. And then Ken passed, you know, about a month ago. Right. Scott Douglas has taken over the lead role, and we're still running it. But that's a lot of work. Ken, mm-hmm. The amount of work that Ken put into that is incredible when we look back on it. We didn't realize at the time. And that's just two shows a week. So it is tricky. We would love to be a part of an event like that, especially mm-hmm. if it was a multi-venue event.
Right.
But I doubt that we would be the ones that take the lead on it.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, I feel torn in that. So I was what was called the director of creative writing for the Rhode Island International Film Festival for like 7 years. And I know that was a team of 5 or 6 people looking at 3,000 submissions.
Yeah.
It's an Academy Award winning qualifying festival for short films. And then the rest of it's interns. And so, you know, people are frustrated sometimes with the execution of the nuts and bolts of the film festival.
Sure.
But, you know, I know that it's just a really small group of people who are putting on this huge thing. So my reservation is I'm worried that it means death to creativity for me. Not that watching films and choosing films isn't creative, but I wonder, am I going to be able to still write? Am I still going to be able to, you know, make stuff?
Right.
So I have my reservations. But it seems like such a great town. And you're talking about audiences of, you know, 15 to 40 people, a lot more than you're talking about hundreds.
Yeah.
So, the walkability of downtown Asheville seems amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Sundance, or you look at what's happening in Austin every year, South by Southwest, and it really becomes an economic driver for this city to have those.
Absolutely.
So
I should go talk to the Chamber of Commerce, maybe.
You quadruple the...
Is that my way to go?
Population. You know what? I think it's probably going to take someone that just has laser focus on this is what I want to happen.
Ooh, laser focus is not my thing.
And a big vision.
And the management skills to bring in the you know, those 5 or 6 dedicated people you're talking about that worked probably 100 hours a week for 6 weeks.
I'm thinking like 3 screens, Thursday night, Friday, Saturday. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking. I feel pretty sure that when you open submissions, they're going to come in, because it's just ridiculous the number of submissions that you get. Not to mention, it's such a great town.
And I was going to say, this is Asheville.
It's an unbelievable town.
This is Asheville.
Right.
You know, that's what we say about everything. This is Asheville.
So, I mean, I went to, a place that comes to, even, so my film, the short film, it showed at what's called the Museum of Modern Moving Image.
Sure. Yeah, you said you've been there.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
We love that.
So that was in Queens.
Yes. Yep.
That's a museum. And I'm thinking, too, that the Mushroom film, it was set in Indiana, and it showed at an art museum. So maybe in museums, yeah. So you guys, you conceivably, you're not committing, you could give a screen for 3 nights. Not really.
Well, we are doing a lot of kind of special events lately, and people are finding out about us, and they're requesting. And we've had to turn down some events
on a
Saturday night, because we, or even a Friday night, we had a film that we would absolutely love to have shown, but it's only available for a Friday night, and it's only available for our DCP screen, which is our big screen, and it's called Equal Means Equal. And it's on, the evening is, it's like Equal Rights Day. I can't remember the name of the day.
Yeah.
So the organizers, it's a national event, and the requirements is you must show it on that evening if you want to show it early. Or you can show it a month later when it's released. And so we were going to work with an amazing group locally that is pushing for the Equal Rights Amendment ratification. And but since that's our main studio picture screen, we can't give away a Friday.
Yeah,
you know, nobody will open a film with us if we give away their opening night screen to someone else. because we're booking a film for a week or 2 weeks. Sure. They depend on that opening night.
So these other rooms are more of a possibility.
Yeah, screens 2 and 3 are a lot more flexible, and it comes down to 1, economics, and 2, contract negotiations with the distributors. But we do, the reason we wanted 3 screens was to have some extra flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
But for instance, when we did your event at a noon on a Saturday, we didn't know how that would turn out. We were hopeful, and we'd seen the film, and we were like, this is great. And when we put it in the 80-seat house, and 80 people showed up, and then another 40 people showed up, and then another 40 people showed up, so we spread it to screen 3, and then we added an extra show. It showed us that there are slots that don't impact our regular schedule that we can open up to rentals or to local filmmakers or to just a free event like that, and people will respond. I mean, we want to be a place that has a community event frequently, so we're not just the place to come and see a film on a Saturday night, but to bring the community together. Maybe it's around a cause, maybe it's a fundraiser, or it's just to celebrate someone like Christopher, yeah. You know, who mm-hmm. who deserves the attention that he got that day, because it's such an amazing story.
I've got. Well, I'm almost hesitant to say it because it's such a weird idea.
Yeah.
I've got this other weird idea, which is like people come to Asheville, they've never been anywhere, and it's. I think you can probably go somewhere like the Chamber of Commerce and watch the super polished movie about Asheville. I'm sure that if you go to the Biltmore and you walk in, you can watch a movie. I probably saw it at some point in my life when I went there. So it's like a film that introduces people to Asheville. What, you guys have already thought of this? You're nodding your head.
This is, I think this is what you're going to say.
The Asheville
What's
stories?
Always your idea? Yeah. Idea? And yeah, just
well,
to have it kind of running.
I'll let you know, and this was your inspiration. The afternoon or the evening after we did your event, I sketched out a little movie poster that had Asheville kind of in a big font, like a postcard, and then stories underneath.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that was 12 noon every Saturday. And that would be, it's like what we did that Saturday. Mm-hmm. We just have a free event where we seek out similar product, or we bundle 2 or 3 shorts into a 45-minute program.
Cool.
And just, you know what, make it a tourist stop.
Yeah.
And it introduces people to the theater. Maybe we sell some popcorn. And we can get a little paperwork done while the film runs. We're going to be here in the afternoon anyway.
Right.
So I agree. Something like that just gives people a reason to make this one more stop, and then it also gives local filmmakers an outlet to have their work seen.
And it promotes Asheville.
Yeah, it's the latest Explore Asheville video from the Chamber or from the Downtown Association.
You know what I was thinking is... I got a couple things to say about that, but first of all, that's sort of what I'm doing. Like, I call my website Torg Stories, which is essentially just, you know, finding those stories. And then what I'm really trying to focus on now, since I moved here, it's been 2 years, is doing stories here. Like, when you talk about laser focus, I mean, I could be all over the place.
Yeah.
And so I asked myself, is this about Asheville? No, okay, I'm not going to do it. So I've been trying to be more focused. And so for every film I make, I'm also writing, so it'll be a collection of nonfiction pieces all related to Asheville. And this guy, Peter Greggett, who's an editor at Express, he used this phrase, creative oddballs, which I liked because I'm sort of attracted to interesting, you know, people. And then another title is A Yankee in the South. I'm from Indiana, and I never thought of myself as a Yankee until my mother-in-law said, my daughter is dating a Yankee, and she met me, and I was like, "What?"
Really?
And so we eventually,
that's
once
funny.
We got married, and years passed, we hashed out like, "What do you mean when you say Yankee?" You know, which was fine. So that all that so that kind of with that. But my idea was actually, and I don't know if it would change. I don't know, would it be a permanent place that this film showed? But it's about Asheville, and so it's like, I don't know what it is. It's the river. It's the Biltmore. It's
It's like one piece, and I wouldn't think you'd give that away. I would think it's something that like people in town are like, let's go down to the ground and watch this film and get sort of an overview of the place. Yeah.
I think it's
they're very connected ideas though.
We're doing these pre-show programs that we just started doing that consist of maybe it's an amusing short film or maybe it's a clip from a classic that we're going to be running. And we're doing advertising slides for local businesses in between. So we've got about 15 minutes. And what we're trying to do every week is to have a similar format but change up the content each week.
Yeah.
So if someone comes 2 weeks in a row and they get here 15 minutes early, they get a little different take. They might get a PSA from this local group that's premiering their animation here today, or they're getting the Blood Simple trailer, the original.
How fast can I crank out Asheville stories? That's what I'm asking myself. It's you guys wouldn't let me video you. I'm sitting here looking at you guys in the dark. You would have been great. DeVita's like leaning in. We got a good shot.
That's good to
and
know.
You guys wouldn't let me do it, but yeah. It's not good enough to show. It would have been good. Go ahead.
Is that slot? Maybe it has some things that are anchors that are there every time, and then maybe it has some things that are just kind of changed out every other week or every week, so that if someone did bring someone else the next week and they watched it, it'd be a little different.
What's a good length for my Asheville story?
I think maybe it's a 25 minute thing.
Oh, that would be blocked with some other stuff?
That wouldn't be in the pre-show.
That wouldn't be the pre-show.
But if we did something on a regular thing on a Saturday, that's a little longer. No, if we were doing it in a pre-show, if we did that, maybe it's 2 or 3 minutes. And
so these Asheville stories would work in 2 or 3 minutes?
I think they could, because that would be part of a 15-minute clip that kind of throws in a variety of things between little bursts of local ads.
I'm kind of bumped about that.
It's a teaser for your longer piece.
You know, because I'm... you were talking about the way that... And we need to wrap it up. Everybody needs to wrap it up. You were talking about the way that those people hung in there and blogged about their theater.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I know I talked to the Riverkeeper. I mean, he gave me enough. It won't be. But he gave me enough for a film just in our 1 hour talk. Because he went deep on Duke Energy and he went deep on coal ash. And he, you know, he's in the river taking water samples, and he's figuring out that this great big hog farm is running sewage into the river. And he's
might have a duck all there. You might have feature length.
No, I know. So all, and then I told you that in this French Broad movie. So I went down to the start of the French Broad, and we interviewed this couple met while paddling, and they bought this land at the start of the French Broad, and they open. So all that stuff. It's like, you know, I don't know if that's what you're thinking, but
no, I think you may have a full length documentary.
Well, I'm working. But as you work on one documentary, almost every time you talk to somebody, you come across three more documentaries.
You sure?
And then it's at some point, it's like. So I did the video podcast last time, and I tried to make myself not work on it very much. It's like I shot the video. I'm gonna cut out the boring parts.
Yeah.
There it is. But then there's always the temptation of let's show the hallway and let's show the three screening rooms and let's show, and then all of a sudden you're like making another movie. So
it is, yeah.
Yeah.
I produced for a long time, and it is very difficult to let something stay a little rough.
Yeah.
You know.
So one.
And sometimes it works great that way.
You're showing little things before the films now?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So we started doing those, right? 2 weeks ago. We started doing these introduction loops. And there, you know, it's some of them are funny little clips. We have this animator that licensed her 30-second long versions of movies told with bunnies, little animated bunnies.
Yeah, yeah.
And these things were a big flash internet sensation, you know. But we came across them. We're like, these are great. And we wrote her. She said, I love it. I'd love to be in front of you. So she wrote us a license. And... We have some other things, like when we were doing construction, we did some time-lapse videos of different parts of the process. So we've got some of that on there, so people can actually sit in screen one and watch this video that ends with the wall being built that they're staring at.
You reminded me that there's this group called Asheville Playgrounds, and they build one-of-a-kind playgrounds unique to spaces.
Yeah, I think I've seen those.
And I did a time-lapse. They built a thing in our backyard.
Yeah.
We sort of bartered...
some video work for some playground work, which was kind of cool too to watch that thing.
Yeah.
You know, that might even work as well.
That's cool.
So last little topic here. Let's make it clear where we are.
Sure.
So if I'm downtown Asheville, I'll let you do it, and then I'll add my own take on where we are. So how do we find this place?
Well, we're at 45 South French Broad Avenue. If you're downtown, say if you're at Pritchard Park, you just go down Patton toward West Asheville.
In Pritchard Park, is that the Drum Circle Square?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. you go just a couple of blocks. The Federal Building is that very large marble building on the right. The next stoplight is French Broad Avenue. South French Broad is a left right there. Actually, if you're at that stoplight, you can look down and see our sign, the Grail sign. The building houses the Grail. It also houses Hoppe and Company, which is the grocery store that used to be Amazing Savings. The Downtown Market, Little B Tie, and
Sly
Grog Bar, the Asheville Film School of Film, which is our neighbor,
and now Hatch AVL.
Yeah, Hatch AVL.
Have you guys been into the Sly Grog?
We have. Sly Grog's really, really neat little bar. It has a performance stage. They do a lot of music. They do, I think, open mics every now and then. They actually are, I think they're connected to Little B on the inside.
And to the Downtown Market.
Right. I think you can go into the bar, have a drink, and you can
and
walk around
and
shop, in the booths in Downtown Market, even in the evenings.
My other fantasy for myself is to sort of be like a Lorne Michaels of Asheville,
right,
where you've got live shows, and you have a little bit of video, and you have a little bit of music.
Right.
So someday I might ask for more specific coaching on how to open a business. Or we can just have this entertainment complex here in this block.
Well, I think there's a big improv community in town.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of different little groups. And we, you know what, we've considered, and we were approached about bringing a comedian in, and we're actually very familiar with the comedian. Her work is great. We're realizing we're a movie theater.
Yeah.
You know, if we bring a microphone and speakers into one screen, it's going to bleed into another while we have something going on.
Right.
So we're...
And each event, we are learning.
Yeah, we're learning what we do well and what just isn't the right fit.
I wondered... I'm not really thinking this is a good idea, but we'll see what you say. I'm also a member of the North Carolina Writers Association. They are thinking about literary events. And I was just thinking about like 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning where a writer comes in and there's a table and they give a talk.
You know what?
Because you're not showing other movies.
Yeah, magic words is 10 a.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah, morning.
It is. The bottom line
is, you guys don't
want to
be here
showing
20 hours a day.
Don't care.
We could pay somebody
else. We're here 20 hours
That's right.
a day anyway.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, right now we are.
But yeah, when we're not showing movies and it's not our regular schedule, that's another way too for us to make money or to open it up to other people.
Because it's a good space for that. I mean, because it's sort of a theater kind of.
It's very flexible.
Comfortable.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect kind of extracurricular. We do, you know, we are up against a building that's still under construction in parts. So certain times of the day, there is clanging that you would not believe that come through the floor.
Oh, yes.
So, and, you know, they're very respectful of when we're showing films, especially if we go down freaking out and saying, we've got 35 people in Marguerite.
I'm usually in the box going, go down there, I hear them grinding.
One other thing I was going to say about the location is, like, to me, Cox Avenue, there's a lot going on there in the intersection of Haywood Road, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And that's the Thirsty Monk. And so if you're in there, to me, when you start walking down Haywood Road, about the spot you're like, I think this is the end of town.
Yeah.
You should walk another 15 yards.
Yeah.
Look
You'll
down
see.
French Broad Avenue. And there's the Grail. You know, no one's ever bothered me making that walk. As I said, this has become my new favorite parking
spot.
There is
the one sketchy corner.
Yeah, just
it's the one little sketchy corner.
Well,
but if you pass that, you're good.
You can't walk anywhere in Asheville without maybe being a little bit nervous. At a certain time, you never know whether whatever it might be.
You know what? We knew that this was kind of the edge of where most activity was, but when Little B opened, it brought a ton of people. That was about a week before we opened. Brought a ton of people over here, and they came and got amazing food, and they had a good time, and they, they're becoming used to this as a nice place to go and,
yep.
and see a movie, yeah. maybe get a meal, go over to the grocery store, or go have a beer. And along with the development inside the building, there's a lot of improvements to the property going on. So it's just, you know, general cleanup of what had been kind of stagnant part of town for a
right.
while. So it's we're very excited about that.
Well, thanks to you two for opening this place up. I'm super excited. Thanks for taking the time to
Thank
visit
you.
With us. Really, really enjoyed this.
Thank
Great.
You. Thanks.
All right, take care.
Thanks.
Great.